And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So everybody, it's turned into another armchair quarterback. I think I will somewhat take the reins on that as well. Vladimir Putin has invaded Ukraine, taking it back for the USSR, or so we're told. No, I will not support the bombing and killing. I've got a little issue with regular old war. Don't think it's necessary. But I can almost kind of see where old Vlad is kind of getting his ideas, his talking points, his motivation to do such atrocities as we're being told as he's doing. And I think it's a fairly simple enough analogy for us, at least here in the United States, as to what would we do if some hostile force were there just across the way, just off of our border, maybe even right across the border, maybe on a little bit more extreme sense of things, or yet maybe very fitting, had installed nuclear weapons just across the border. What would we here in the United States think? Would we have a president as good as we had when the Cuban Missile Crisis took place? The last time we faced World War III, we had bombs. We had Cuba and Russia teaming up together, bombs being installed down there. And we caught them using our little spy planes and had the Cold War going on and very worried it was going to go hot. We pulled through, we put our foot down, we said, "Hey, Russia, you take those bombs off of that island, and we won't do anything." And Russia said, "Okay, you take the bombs out of Turkey, and we're all good." Very fun game of political chess was happening. Now, what if we here in the United States had a country that had a government that we really did not get along with, did not agree with? Be kind of a tough thing to deal with. Do we just go with sanctions against Canada and Mexico? Because those are as simple as it gets for us. Do we have to break it down state by state? Does Arizona have to put sanctions on California? Are those two next to each other, or is it New Mexico? Some American I am. But there's plenty of, I'll call it circumstantial, because I haven't taken the time to do all of my research. I'm just here as an armchair consultant. Can't go all full revisionist just yet. Still in the middle of this. There's plenty of circumstantial evidence saying that the United States helped install the government that was in before this current administration, before Zelensky. People, the United Nations, NATO came in, had a color revolution kind of installed who they wanted, people that they thought would be friendly to the Western United States, or the Western governments, Europe included. How is Russia supposed to react when they see that the United States is sending artillery to Ukraine? Right or wrong, defense or indefensible, for our stance on protecting Ukraine, protecting lives and individuals, or are we just protecting the government? The people that are there. Or maybe we actually have done good work in trying to instill a proper set of morals within Ukraine. And Putin just wants to reestablish the USSR. That didn't really work out well in the first time around. How nowadays can it work any better? Technology is leaky. Voices get out. People are able to talk just a little bit more. Dissenters can still disappear. There was that band Pussy Riot that Putin locked up, a political band that spoke negatively of him. Nope, into jail with you. I'm not here saying that Vlad's an angel, but I respect him as one of those Bond villains. Got the lasers and the whatnot. Always some sort of master plan. And yet this individual has nukes. And here we are on a world stage kind of pushing him around. And, you know, maybe he started the fight. Bullies only respond to backyard brawls. Is that the story of it? And we're taking away his financial power. We're collapsing the Russian economy, cutting off gas supplies and all this other fun stuff. What do you have to lose when you have nothing else to lose? Now again, maybe it is justified. Maybe he does need to be knocked down a peg or two. But for as long as I can remember, not that I've been paying attention very long, but Russia's always been the bad guy. Russia's always been smacked around. And as an individual, when you're always downtrodden, always down, again, what's the extra couple hits? You're always at the back of the classroom. You're always the ruckus maker. Teacher's never going to call on you anyways. What's the point of lashing out? Or not lashing out, I should say. Now everybody's again teamed up against him, trying to quell him down. But he's been in the back, watching, biding his time, seeing how everybody moves and plays. And how much have we been watching him? It's a good question, if you ask me. It's kind of hard for me to say that we should not get involved, but I don't think we should. This is a dispute between neighbors. Now, I say we could sit on the sidelines and say, hey, I don't think you should do that. You shouldn't do that. Don't do that. At what point do the atrocities become so grand that we have to get involved? And maybe that's kind of where we're at. But how much do we get involved between warring factions within Africa? Well, that's right. We don't have as many financial commitments or international dependencies with those individuals down there. The West has businesses in Ukraine and Russia has oil and gas to sell. It's kind of a tough gig. Again, getting involved in a conflict. Did we not learn as the United States? Did the world not learn from our mistakes with Iraq and Afghanistan? And especially how we left. That was less than a year ago we left Afghanistan. And right now it's currently just talks of, a lot of talks of fiscal sanctions and whatnot against Russia. But at what point does he say, well, I've got no money that I've got to worry about. What's an extra large explosion or two? As I sit here, just a lowly pleb, sitting here, minding my own business, trying to live my own life, international things going on. Do I expect attacks on the home front? Not necessarily, but hey, apparently crazy things can happen nowadays. And how do we filter out what's actually the issue, what's going on? There's a lot of us who, again, can go in and deep dive and do research, but I don't speak Russian, don't speak Ukrainian, don't regularly follow those news sources. I don't really trust the news sources here at home. I find it hard to trust the news source coming from Russia. Well, at certain points, they may be more honest, and that's probably more focused on things that are happening in the United States that they'll be more honest on. But anything that's happening within the Russian borders, I don't expect truth and honesty from Russian media. I only see Western propaganda as a high influential point from Ukraine. Again, we need to make sure that we defend the homeland, protect our interests, and so we only need to spin the story one way. Who's right? Who's wrong? I don't think it's as simple as one or the other. I think both sides have their justifications for being right, which means both sides have their justifications of being on the wrong. And how do we balance that? How do we figure that out? I don't know if we get to. There's individuals in positions of power making decisions that we don't get to make heads or tails of. We only get to see the one side that makes it through all those board meetings handed down to us plebs. And then we get to watch what happens from the other side and how that board meeting has evolved. We do have citizen journalists who go out and figure things out and dig things up for us. But are they just Russian bots? Are they American bots? Ukrainian bots? German bots? British bots? Somalian bots? Australian bots? Whoever. wherever. People with an idea, business plan. Business plans don't take place overnight. Long term, long goal business plans. And so it's not to tell us all one way or the other on how to think or what to think. But I do think if we're at all going to do any research, any point of learning, may I guide you to Hardcore History. Two episodes that will be, well, one's a single episode and the other one is a series. Just recently listened to Hardcore History number 42, Logical Insanity, talking about the justification, trying to put oneself in the time frame, the headspace, the emotional space of the time frame of using nuclear weapons. If you're going to support anybody and not support me, that's okay. Go support Dan Carlin on Hardcore History. The other episode that I've just recently started re-listening to him from him as well is Ghosts of the Ostfront. It's a story about the war of the Eastern Front between Germany and Russia. And he starts it off saying that this is not a good guy versus bad guy story. It's a bad guy versus bad guy story. Stalin was a piece of crap. And we all know about Adolf Hitler. And again, if you're not going to support me, go support this show, Hardcore History. Episodes 27 through 30, Ghosts of the Odds Front. Totally worth the listen. As again, I'm telling you, this is the third time I'm working my way through this one. All kind of circumstantial on the timing that these started and what's going on within the world. But if you want to go just a little bit more on the specifically political side, seeing who's installed what and where and why tensions may have arisen the way they have, there's a Value for Value podcast you can listen to, Congressional Dish, episode 244, titled Keeping Ukraine. And Jen Briney goes into explaining all the intricacies of the individuals that were installed. And while I may be just an armchair podcaster for this episode, this couple of minutes that I've sat here, it's a means to, again, get those talking points, those ideas, those gears flowing. And you can go listen to people that I will qualify as experts on this topic as a means to educate yourself. And the little bit more we can get educated, the better off we will all be. And I'm Billy Bones, BILLYBON, the number 3S. You find me on Twitter and Gab, at Billy Bones. You find me on No Agenda Social, the Mastodon Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. There you can drop off some short diatribes, some easy comments or harsh comments, short and sweet. But if you need to get in longer form communication, again, you're in luck. You go to billybones.com, the website, billybones.com, spelt with the number 3 instead of an E. And there you can find links to Discord and email. Write full-on letters to your heart's content. Let me know thoughts, questions, emails. There's not many show notes for today's episode, but also on the website, there's plenty of show notes for previous episodes. You sign up through your podcatcher. There's a link there. And this is a Value for Value podcast. If you found value out of this episode or the entire collection, fantastic. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give the show a share. Maybe someone else can find a talking point, either for or against things that I have to say, or maybe it gets those gears turning within their head as well. We can all start that little bit of conversation. But thanks. Oh, I guess I should tell you, if you did find value, you go to the website, scroll all the way down, click that PayPal button, and you can donate, you can chip in, you can support the show in any amount you want, be it a one-time or a monthly donation. A mere $1 to a vast amount of however many zeros you wish to add. But thanks for listening. I love you guys. And I'll talk to you next week.